Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. So, last week there was nothing to talk about.
No, there really wasn't.
Nothing. Like, you heard it was a stretch to fill up an episode.
Right. Yeah, like, it. Nothing was happening, and we recorded it, like, a day too soon.
Yes.
We recorded it, what, Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. Yeah. And then Thursday, everything happened.
Everything happened.
And by everything, I mean 11 people got fired.
Yes. Got let go.
Like, they were
got,
fired.
Got future endeavored.
Yeah, you got fired.
Yeah.
They got canned.
So, we'll go through them one by one.
Okay.
Just real quick.
We'll start off with the most important.
Yeah.
Referee Mark Harris.
Okay.
I mean, I guess he didn't referee the way they wanted him to referee.
I don't know. That's honestly, like, that's a thing where...
Or they had an NXT referee they were wanting to bring up soon.
I have no context as to, like, why he wasn't doing his job right, or why, like,
right,
you know, if the budget was cut, why that referee got cut over any other referee. I have nothing for you there.
I mean, maybe they you know, the senior referees have more of a, like, a, you know, ironclad contract.
Yeah, sure.
Next we got, the one that seemed like... It should have been a surprise, but it was. It was JTG.
JTG.
Because you thought he weathered so many storms before this. You know, the joke of, you know, WWE just forgot he was there kind of thing.
Yeah. No, there's... JTG himself posted a thing on Twitter, which was a deal from Scooby-Doo, with his face superimposed on the guy. He kind of would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you smarks.
Yeah.
And, like, that's literally what it was. Like, I really feel like he could have gotten away as... a member of the roster forever.
Right. If he just, you know, kept his head down. But the thing is, you know, that's what the internet does. They point out things, like, all it takes is one person to be like, hey, remember this guy? Whatever happened to him? He's still with the company?
Mm-hmm.
No way. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that, and that's honestly, that's just something we're like, of course. Like, you know.
Yeah. Next was Drew McIntyre.
And... Jinder Mahal.
And Jinder Mahal, that two-thirds of 3MB are gone.
So,
even though they're, well, I'm guessing no longer, you know, they were, you know, 3MB was in a thing with Los Matadores and El Torito, but I'm assuming that's over.
That's over now, over, don't touch
well, it. Well, I mean, yeah, but even like El Torito and Hornswoggle, I believe, like, I've no mention of that, no reference to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was kind of an unusual one, because 3MB was regularly featured on the show.
Yeah.
And had matches... In the past two pay-per-views.
Two pay-per-views, they were on the Raw before they, two of them got let go.
Yeah.
Of course, they lost, so
I mean,
there
but,
you go.
But that was their job. Like, I feel like Santino's job is not at risk, is it? Because it's, you know, it's this, like, creative has nothing for you, is why you get future endeavored.
Right.
Creative has stuff for Santino. Like, it's not, you know, world championship winning stuff.
Right.
But it's like, creative has stuff for him.
It must depend on his snake sleeve sales, I guess.
So, but, like, that's just the thing. It's like, it really felt like they had stuff for 3MB.
Right.
I mean, and Heath Slater appeared on Raw the next night, filling the role of 3MB. Like, you know.
Yep. So just to job out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I, you know, gotta mention Drew McIntyre specifically was the chosen one.
And just, it never got off the ground.
Mm-mm.
I don't think they ever, because I did like his ring work. And, like, and once you saw a little bit more of it with 3MB every now and then, mm-hmm. you see a glimpse of it, and like, oh, this guy's got a lot of talent, you know, why aren't they doing more with him or anything like that? It was just, like you said, creative didn't have anything for him, and what they did have just didn't seem to work.
Yeah.
Or didn't stick, or he was fine
as far as the chosen one stuff.
Right, and he was just fine being one of the background guys in 3MB.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal is also kind of a, I guess he just never got a fair shake because, Because
his debut match was with Kali.
Right, right. And that immediately got everyone sick of him off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, typical Indian or Middle Eastern gimmick. even though he's from Canada.
Yep.
Because, you know, and it's a shame because our friend Nathan up in Canada, he, you know, he had seen him in some of the local promotions up there, and he was really excited that Jinder Mahal was coming up through WWE.
Yeah.
Because of what he'd seen previous, and I guess we never got to see that.
I don't think he ever got a chance. I mean, he was the... Was he Kali's brother?
Brother-in-law.
Because he yep. was... He was... And there was the Kali...
He had some sort of blackmail with Kali and
Kali had the other manager, whose name I don't even remember.
Ranjing Singh. I don't
know. And, like, he was, like, through blackmail, having to make him a heel. Yeah. Something, whatever.
Right.
But, like, yeah, it's just, like, he got nothing at the beginning and was automatically straddled with that, like... It's Kali and Jinder Mahal. Those are our two.
Yeah.
You know, they're together forever.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I was kind of excited that he was in 3MB because, like, that's something completely different for him to do. Just completely separate from all the Kali baggage.
Kali and Jinder Mahal had a snake charming match off.
They did.
Match up or whatever you want to say.
They did.
I should have put that in the tribute video.
Oh, that was a missed opportunity.
Because the only thing I could find of Jinder Mahal was either him jobbing out to Ryback or attacking Kali. I didn't even think about the... Yeah, maybe I was purposely trying to block that out of my mind.
Yeah, the snake charm in Santino's hand.
Moving on, we got Oksana. Kind of surprised because they had kind of positioned her as... Alicia Fox's, you know,
next
best
victim.
Well, it started as like her partner, and then turned into her next victim.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then she got let go. I'm wondering if her breaking Naomi's face, if that had anything. I'm sure it had to. If that had anything to do with, you know, her getting released,
just like a last straw kind of thing.
Possibly, or just, you know, it was just one more just bad mark on her.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, not having a good character, being terrible in the ring, and, you know, just being uninteresting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, let's move on to Curt Hawkins. Another guy who just, you know, just... They never really used
him. They had nothing...
After him and Zack Ryder stopped being... tag team partners, you know.
Well,
Hawkins did have his brief tag team run with Tyler Rex before he left.
Right. I mean, Curt Hawkins was like Flow Rider was the biggest thing I remember from him.
Flow Rider.
But like WrestleMania 28, they had like the backstage skits.
That was Heath Slater.
Are you sure? I thought Curt Hawkins had a cane.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah. They came out to make fun of Heath Slater after he got. Pushed by Flo Rida.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought you were confusing those two. Okay.
No, I'm saying, like, it wasn't like he had a shot and failed. Like, honestly, yeah. They gave Drew McIntyre, like, this will be your thing. You're the chosen one thing.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Jinder Mahal, like, as I feel that it was as a good way to, you know, right, put your best foot forward.
Right.
Heath Slater was in Nexus, which was a dominant thing for a very long time.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, like, guys who are in this, like, tiny little low job level, a lot of them did have one push, and when it didn't work, never got another chance.
Right, yeah.
It was, you know, it wasn't like, oh, that character didn't work, the timing didn't work out, it was always like, that wrestler must not work.
Right.
Down to the bottom before. Curt Hawkins got nothing.
Be right. Yeah. Next we got Teddy Long. I mean, wasn't really being used.
Wasn't being used, but, like, how close is that guy to retirement?
I don't know.
And, yeah, like...
I'm thinking it was... So? I'm assuming at this point, you know, it was afforded, you know, if he wanted to leave as well. Like, I think it might have been mutual.
Yeah.
You know, he probably just didn't want to travel as much, and especially if he wasn't going to be used.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it was... Now, Teddy Long was released, who was best known as general manager of SmackDown.
Right.
With several skits with Oksana.
Yep.
Had the Chosen One feud with Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Who else was on SmackDown from that list? Jinder Mahal was, his whole Kali thing was pretty much SmackDown exclusive.
Yep.
So a lot of what they're clearing out here is Teddy Long related SmackDown stuff.
Right. No, yeah, because when I was making the tribute video, a lot of, like, because I would try to find, like, a couple clips for each person, and a lot of them, the same people were in the clips together.
Mm-hmm. So there's
of course, talking about the Teddy Long rubbing oil on Cesaro.
Yeah.
That happened.
Well, I guess Oksana was also with Cesaro.
Yep, she was in the video. Next we got Camacho. Actually,
the only thing about this was, like, TakeOver had just happened.
He was just on TakeOver, and he did really good on TakeOver, and he's been doing really good on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I guess this was more of a budgetary thing than, you know, whether or not they actually believed he could go anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I was really impressed with him even back when he was tag teaming with Hunico. Like, I thought they were a very underrated tag team. They had one pre-show, no, not a pre-show match. It was a match on Money in the Bank a couple years ago. And I think it was them and the Usos,
yeah.
Maybe some other team or something. And it was a really good match. And I remember, like, you know, I really want to see more out mm-hmm. of these guys. And, you know, I think Hunico got injured and they, you know, kind of went away. And then Camacho was just regulated just NXT. And then Hunico became the new Sin Cara.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could have easily changed his gimmick to one where he's, you know, his actual nationality.
I mean, they could have changed his gimmick and brought him back up, and 90% of the audience would not notice.
Right.
It would be easier to do that than Husky Harris to Bray Wyatt.
Well, yeah, yeah. So, like, I mean, they could have even played up the fact that he's, you know, Haku's son.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, they could have easily done something like that, you know?
So that's what I'm actually sad to see get. Like, there's untapped talent there that, like...
Because I'm back into watching NXT, and he had been in a lot of the recent episodes. So I was actually, like, I was wanting to see him because
his
stuff was really good.
Right.
So that was a little upsetting. Next is Brodus Clay. I don't know. It's like they didn't even give him a honest try with his heel character.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he turned, he was gone. He did, like, the turn episode. It might have showed up in an episode after that or something like that. And mm-hmm. he was gone.
Yeah.
He did a short thing on NXT against Adrian Neville, and that's why Adrian Neville actually lost teeth. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, like, it really feels like there was some backstage thing there because of how suddenly and completely Brodus Clay disappeared from the show. But that's all just speculation. But the thing is, like, yeah, it feels like, the Funkadactyls just kind of dwarfed Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
You know, they were there.
The show.
Mm-hmm.
The reality show.
And it just, like, they turned to them, and the focus became on them, and they had to get rid of this Brodus Clay thing that was, you know, holding the team back, weighing it down.
Right.
But, you know, Brodus Clay was a prominent character for a long time.
Yeah.
It
was just, it surprised me that they just... I don't know, like, for some reason, they just didn't even give his heel character a chance.
Yeah.
On the main show. So. I don't know, maybe they put him back to NXT and just saw that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He was on Scooby-Doo, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in Scooby-Doo movie.
That movie is already irrelevant.
But Kane's got a mask back.
Hooray.
So Scooby-Doo's becoming more accurate again.
Except one of the characters is no longer in the company.
Also, I think AJ is also in that movie.
Okay, well, she's not. She's still.
She's technically employed.
She's technically employed.
That's still in the hush hush. Nobody acknowledges this.
Well, yeah. Next, Evan Bourne. Honestly, I'm surprised it hadn't happened sooner.
Because
it seemed like they were pretty much had their mind made up that they weren't really going to do anything with him anyway.
Well, that's the two wellness policy violations. Back to back like that.
Yeah, on top of being injury prone, on top of getting in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
While you're serving your suspension.
That's the thing. You get two strikes in a row like that on a 3-strike policy, you're never going to be trusted with a belt, I feel.
Right.
Like, honestly, that was, like, I was a little surprised. I mean, Randy Orton's still Randy Orton, but
Well, yeah, but he had years between.
Yeah, and I think that was part of it.
Right.
But so, like, that was the thing. It's like, me like that, I was like, that's never going to happen. They still might bring him back for the spots. Right. For, you know, so that it doesn't all have to be Kofi in Money in the Bank and Royal Rumble spots.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, as soon as they bring Adrian Neville up, they're good.
Yeah.
Because that means it'll be him and Kofi. They'll have more options, more guys.
But, yeah, I mean, I liked Evan Bourne. I had a soft spot for Evan Bourne.
Right.
Evan Bourne, there was a small little thing where Evan Bourne was feuding with Jericho, with kind of like Cena in his corner, like Cena's kind of handpicking him as the new, you know, as like his protege thing. Mm-hmm. And that's when Nexus happened and like,
well,
Cena had to focus all that.
Well, there was that, and I think Evan Bourne, like, it was right when he was about, it seemed like someone was about to break with him, and then something literally broke with him, and he got injured.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, the one thing that never got, like, he spent so much time on the shelf with injury,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, he did the whole air boom thing, and then, God, it's two wellness policy violations.
Yeah. So, he's one that I like, because, you know, and so, like, any sort of indie stuff that he appears in, like, I'll actually seek out. I am curious to see what Evan Bourne does after this.
Right.
But I can't blame WWE
for anything.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I was like, they, I feel like he got a fair extended chance. Like, it was, it sucks that it doesn't work out for him. It sucks that it didn't work out for WWE either.
Right. But, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just, you know.
Yeah.
Not all of it was his fault. Not all of it was anybody else's fault. You know, except for the wellness policy violations. From what I hear, it was pretty dumb of him.
That's pretty dumb.
And then we got Yoshitatsu.
Yeah, I'm sad about that, too.
I mean, they haven't really used him for years.
They have not, they've not. I mean, we've talked about Yoshitatsu, like, he had a match that was years ago. It was just a filler match,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it was a match in the middle of SmackDown or something, but he gave it his all, and he put on a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would love to see more of that guy, and, of course, you know, never did.
Right.
He doesn't speak great English, you know. So it's just, it's kind of a thing where they couldn't ever do anything with him.
Right.
I
think one time he was in a tag team with Mark Henry.
Yeah, he was.
That was random.
He was in a tag team with Mark Henry. So that just sucks. He's another one that, like, I'll probably seek out, see if he shows up, you know, indies somewhere.
Sure. I'm sure. You never know. He'll probably go back to Japan and make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, kind of an honorable mention, I guess, but apparently Vicky Guerrero's days are coming to an end with WWE. But it's more of a, you know, they're letting her, like, her contract is almost up, and she's, like, just playing out her last days with the contract. So, I guess if she had a longer contract, they probably would have went ahead and fired her with the rest of them. But they're just allowing her to do out the rest of her dates.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you also have a little bit of, she's a Guerrero,
Yeah.
You know, I think there is some, like, obligation to take care of.
She is a widow of a wrestler who was still with the company when he passed. Mm-hmm. You know, So I'm sure that has something to do with it. And rightfully so.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's a rough time with WWE for some reason. Well, like, I get it, it's because of, you know, the whole stock thing, they need to make adjustments.
It is
But I feel like this is just, I feel like this is them panicking a little too much.
Here's the thing, and, like, I've said it before, and this is to, like, complain about economics, so strap in. But because WWE is a publicly traded company, they have stockholders to answer to every quarter.
Right.
And this is a bad quarter.
Yeah.
And so they have to adjust for this bad quarter immediately. Right. And so that is kicking everything that is cutting, clearly, you know, 11 people fired, one of them being a referee.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly budgets were cut there. We mm-hmm. know NXT's budget's been cut. We know there is problems with the production staff budget being severely cut.
Yeah, they...
Or the contracts changing to effectively cut the budget.
Right. I think it's, they're doing away with buses that transport the crew.
Mm-hmm.
To
crew will be responsible for its own transportation,
right?
Place to place,
right?
Which
will be just like the wrestlers, really.
Yeah,
like the wrestlers do the same thing.
But a wrestler contract is
they're literally contractors.
Yeah. Also, you know, wrestlers get paid a very different scale than
right.
the production staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just it's definitely, you know, them trying to answer to investors and adjust for what's gone on in the stock market. But also, if you think about it, like, we haven't really got a roster purge in a couple years.
No.
I know, like, every year it's like, you know, everyone's...
Well, we didn't get one last year.
Didn't get one last year, even though everyone's like, oh, there's one going to be coming and there's going to be a lot of people. The year before that, it was the same thing, and I don't think we really got it. I don't think we've gotten one since, like, around 2011, when we lost, like, Chris Masters, whenever CM Punk cut that promo, when they let go Masters, mm-hmm. Luke Gallows, and then Vladimir Kozlov.
Right, right.
Or something like that. Luke Gallows might have already been gone by that point. But there was, a good deal of roster cuts going on then. And we really haven't gotten that since. Like, yeah, we lost a lot of divas since then. And a couple people have left since then. But nothing like this. Like, nothing all on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know.
Well, it's... Looking at it, like, at the budget thing, the panic budget, that if WWE was not a publicly traded company, I feel like this would be such an easy storm to ride out.
Yeah.
If you have genuine faith in the eventual financial success of the network.
Right.
Then stick to your guns and hold it.
Right.
But because it's not, because the finicky market, mm-hmm. they have to immediately start making money somewhere else.
Right.
And that might mean Cena's going to be champion again.
Possibly, yeah. Especially with the belt kind of up for grabs
mm-hmm.
right now. And really, it's just, you know, like we said, the stock dropping is really just a reaction to hitting its peak, you know, just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hit, like, this unprecedented number for them. And so it's going to kind of dip down until it kind of goes back to where it was and stable out.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you can also look at this as some of it might have been making room for new NXT talent, because they're bringing up guys from NXT, it seems, very frequently.
Yeah.
You know, so they gotta make room, because not everyone, most of those guys didn't get camera time as it is.
Yeah. You know?
So what's the point of keeping all these guys on payroll and on roster if you're never going to use them?
Yeah.
Like, that right there, that's, you know, trying to spin, you know, smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that.
Yeah, and
let's be honest, the people that they lost, it's not going to stop the train that much.
No.
You know, we're gonna
honestly, that is because we have had roster purges like this in the past, and because there's guys I'm sad to see gone.
Right.
I mean, but like, the biggest shock for me is 3MB.
Yeah.
You know, like that's honestly the biggest. Like, that I am shocked that happened.
Yeah.
Was 3MB, just because of the frequency of their use and, like, the niche that they had carved out. Like, this is what we are good for. Here you go. You will always need goofy jobbers.
Right.
And we can fill that role forever.
Yeah.
So, the things that worry me more are the other things. The NXT budget being cut.
Yeah.
Because, like, what gets cut there, you know? Like, is that less shows? Is that less wrestlers? Because the biggest appeal for me of NXT is, try them out.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of people out there who get WWE tryouts that don't get contracts, or do get contracts but never even make it to the NXT level.
Right.
You know, they get those provisionary things. There's all that kind of stuff. And if it's just like, if this just means they get to see less people, there's less of a chance that the next wrestler that I would love to see, the next Brock Austin Punk wrestler,
mm-hmm.
who's out there, just numerically, if they can't afford to see as many people, that's when you are the only wrestling option.
Right.
You know, there's nowhere for them to turn.
Right.
So that's a concern. the production thing is a concern. I don't remember the name of the union, but technically I think that they are part of a union. It's the union that that works events. Like Disney on Ice is one of the events.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of theatrical stage thing. And that union shut down Broadway a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was during like Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I still remember like the judge ordered you can't shut down How the Grinch Stole Christmas on stage. Because it's Christmas. Because people are coming to New York to see this Christmas show. Right. So that one got special provisions. But every other show, in Broadway's busiest time of the year,
yeah,
shut down Broadway.
Right.
So
WB could be facing problems if...
I don't know. I might be...
I mean, they may not have implemented this cut yet. But yeah. It might be something that's on the table.
But I might be making, like, leaps and connections that aren't even there. Like, you know. But, like, those... I feel like those dominoes are lined up, you know?
Yeah.
And
they very well might be, yeah.
I don't know. Here's the thing I'm really curious about, honestly.
Okay.
Have you seen Legends House yet?
No. I saw, like, a few minutes of the first episode and couldn't take it, so I jumped ship.
Fair enough. Anybody out there, does anybody watch Legends House? Beyond that, is Legends House the reason or even a reason for getting the network?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the network appeal is, by and large, the Netflix aspect of it.
Right.
You can watch any... The vault.
Yeah.
Digging through the vault, that's the appeal to me.
Right.
Original programming, they have some original programming. Really, though, it's just Legends House as a complete separate entity of a thing. The other stuff that they have is, like...
Lookbacks of...
Countdowns and stuff. Yeah, that's, you know, sit in a room, you know, you get your talent to sit not in a room and talk about...
like, original content for the network.
Right, right.
Because even their documentaries, they go out on DVD first.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the new Batista one's been out for, like, a week and a half,
mm-hmm.
You know? And who knows when it's going to be brought out on the network.
So, if... I feel like, and again, I don't know exact numbers, and they haven't gone international yet.
Yeah.
But WrestleMania was the big one, so like, you can get some people around SummerSlam time, around Survivor Series time.
Well, they're going to have to, because that's around where the 6 month hit.
Right. I think you can definitely get some people to be like, you know what, I would pay $60 for that pay-per-view, and why don't I just go ahead and pay $60 for the network for 6 months and get the pay-per-view and I get everything else. There's that. I feel like you're taking a hit by cutting your pay-per-views by like 80%. The cost of your pay-per-view has been cut by 80%.
Right.
So, even if it is just that, you need so many people. And I know a lot of people who will get the network now who would not get the pay-per-views.
Right.
And the pay-per-views is an added bonus. And like now I am paying for the pay-per-views kind of aspect.
Right.
But if you're... Once you have the pay-per-views, you've used that bullet. You can access the vault. You've used that bullet. How many other bullets do you have in the... get people to buy the network gun.
Right. I don't know.
It's either Raw is there. This is literally your only place to access WWE content.
That would be almost a nuclear level.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there's that there. And then there's other original content. And part of it is that Raw is still the flagship. If Main Event had storylines and consequences, and you know, there's stuff where I, you know, like take the Seth Rollins betrayal thing,
yeah.
And I'm like, God, cannot wait till next Monday to see this. If I had known that, like, cannot wait till Main Event you know, a few days from now so I can see this and see what happens.
Right.
Because that's where Rollins going to explain his actions.
Right.
That's much more tempting.
Right.
So, the you know, Raw fallout happening on, you know, main event.
Yeah.
And there's some of that. Like, for example, Rollins announced this week that he was going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Because he announced there would be a second ladder match.
Announced that at main event.
Yeah, that there would be a Money in the Bank ladder match and that he would be in it.
Yeah.
I really feel like, and I don't want to say this because creatively this would bum me out, but I feel like almost as a, you know, business way, Raw is now your advertisement for the network.
For everything else, yeah.
You know, the way that SmackDown just became an advertisement for Raw.
Yeah.
The way that SmackDown was, here is a short, tiny, inconsequential segment, 15-minute recap of a segment on Raw.
Yeah.
Tiny, short ring entrance video, 15-minute recap of what happened on Raw.
Yeah. And for a while, that was what Main Event Superstars became.
Exactly, and I think you almost need to flip that.
Yeah.
I think you need to, you know, I think people need to come out on Raw and you'll be like, the reason these guys were mad at each other was because of this on Main Event. Don't miss Main Event this week like you did last week, you moron.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, yeah.
But then again, they're more worried about getting ratings on Raw than anything else.
Yeah. So.
Because, again, they might not be the exact contract that they wanted, but it's still a pretty big contract, and they've got to, you know, kind of fulfill it, and, you know, they don't want to lose advertisers.
Right. So, it is a tricky time. Again, if it wasn't a stock market issue, they could ride this out, because TNA is their competition.
Right. No, yeah, yeah.
But it is the stock market, and so that's why there's a panic.
Right.
Speaking of TNA...
Okay.
TNA is having an official vote. You can vote for if they are going to return to the six-sided ring or stick with the four-sided ring.
And TNA talent doesn't seem to be happy about that.
Mm. TNA talent beyond Austin Aries?
Austin Aries, Ethan Carter. He's also said that, like, more of a health concern. That's Derek Bateman for WWE-centric fans.
Yeah.
Even I know he's Ethan Carter. And there might be some others. I can't remember. But mainly Austin Aries.
Yeah, part of it, this is theoretically, and again, nothing's forever in wrestling, but this is a switch, if it is a switch. This is not like a special one-night thing. This is, do we go back to this ring? I totally get Austin Aries being upset.
Right, because it was a health issue he sees that as a health issue.
And if it is a health issue, like if it is a genuine health issue, then no, this should not be a question. Here's
the
thing,
like, these guys are trained for a 4x4 ring. Mm-hmm. That's what they're trained for. That's what they've gone their entire careers doing. And then they put them in this six-sided ring that a lot of them have never even tried before.
Yeah.
Some of them have, most of them haven't.
Yeah.
And so now you got a guy that's going out there trying to do what they usually do in a different type of ring, in a different type of scenario. And yeah, in that aspect, it can be very dangerous.
Yeah. Now, did you watch any six-sided ring back when TNA had it?
I've only seen clips here and there.
Okay. From a business standpoint, from a audience member who doesn't know or doesn't care,
you're right.
Six-sided ring is interesting, mm-hmm. just because it's different.
Right.
Just because, let me see what wrestling looks like in this. You know, that would get me to tune in.
Okay.
Again. If it is a genuine health risk, if it is, and I have no idea, I totally get Austin Aries' complaints. They seem very valid.
Right.
You know, they don't seem like, it's not what I'm used to, and I'm...
Right.
Because if that's the case, then I don't really care. Right. Because, you know, there's some best for business aspects there. If it is a genuine health risk, if having being a six-sided ring means people will get seriously hurt where they would not in a four-sided ring, no, shouldn't be a question.
No, not at all.
You should not risk your genuine health for my entertainment.
Right.
And I get, like, there's some gray area fine line there, because wrestlers anyway, you're risking your health for my entertainment.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm letting that happen.
They're like, how much more of a risk is this
right.
compared to that? Fair enough.
I don't know what will happen. You know, part of the concern is it's TNA, and like, you know, part of it is like, okay, if you do the six-sided ring, it's an interesting thing, it's an interesting concept, you know, so avoid the health risk by taking the time, planning it out, providing a six-sided ring for your wrestlers to walk their matches through ahead of time, really figure out what it is, let your talent get used to the ring, you know.
Right.
And again, you can't change years and years of wrestling training and wrestling experience by just giving them half an hour in a six-sided ring. Okay, you do it like this now.
Right.
But have, you know, constant access to something like that, really be able to work through your stuff. Thinking it's like, it's TNA, so like,
they're really just shooting for anything.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of the reputation they have now, I half expect the talent to show up one day and, oh, two more sides on the ring now.
Right.
Everybody go do that match.
Right. No, it wouldn't surprise me none either.
So, keep an eye out when I guess, like,
right. If that sort of thing is what interests you, yeah.
Again, I don't want to say this because it'll sound like I'm endorsing it, and again, if it is a health concern, which it seems to be, then no, I'm against it.
Right.
But it is a curious enough thing where I don't have to be like, okay, what'd they do?
Right.
Honestly, though, like, the first thing I tuned in, when I first started tuning in, it was at the tail end of the six-sided ring.
Okay.
And I was very taken with the, like, I don't remember who cut the promo, but somebody cut a, like, six-sided wrestling is not wrestling. It's four sides from now on. It might have been Hogan, I'm not sure. But I was like, yeah, real wrestling. Because it was also around the time of, we can't say wrestling anymore, we say sports entertainment.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and stuff. Yeah, because that's when they still had Mick Foley, and Mick Foley came out and just said wrestling like a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a thing.
Yeah.
That's like the constant reaction to TNA. It's a thing.
Sure, you know, whatever.
Yeah. We do need to mention that, yes, there's a second Money in the Bank we mentioned earlier, but, like, just to expound on that.
As far as my knowledge is, Seth Rollins is the only one that's been, included into it.
I assume Dean Ambrose will be in it.
Yeah.
Just because I assumed that they were going to have a singles match at Money in the Bank to kind of push their feud.
And then they can put in, you know, guys like Ziggler and Kofi.
I hope Ziggler wins.
I know, but it's got to be Rollins. You know it's got to be Rollins.
You think?
See,
the only reason I would hesitate on Rollins is because there's so much feud that can happen with Rollins without having to give him
anything. True. Yeah.
He doesn't
necessarily need it.
That sticker can go to somebody else and Rollins won't suffer a lick.
Right.
So it's something I'm really actually liking how the Shield is dealing with going their separate ways.
Yeah.
I like,
and it's one of those things where it's like it just kinda dissipated.
Mm-hmm.
But not dead. So if they want to pick it up years down the road or whatever, whatever.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of like how, you know, how they always dealt with, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels kind of doing their own thing, you know. Never, like, officially ended it or killed it, but they kind of just went their own separate ways, did their own separate things, and then they came back every now and then.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm looking forward to see Roman Reigns get a title shot.
Yep.
I mean, that, you know, so I hope to see good things from him. He was the one that, like, especially towards the end of the Shield thing, I was like, that's...
Yeah, no,
he's going to be the next one to have the belt.
It is appropriate that he's in the championship ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
It is very appropriate.
Yeah.
He like, there was moments where every guy had their big moment to shine, but his was just something completely different.
He carried himself, he acted a way, he wrestled in a way that said, one day that belt's going to look good around my waist.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's a little bit of a, you know, X-factor undefinable thing as to what that was.
Right.
But that was he did good.
he did very good.
He did good. Good job, Roman Reigns. Successful wrestling.
There's something we need to talk about.
Okay.
It was a repackaging of a certain individual.
Uh-huh.
And it might be the most glorious freaking thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I love the music.
Mm-hmm.
I love the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I love the character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, of course, of Stardust.
Yes.
The artist formerly known as Cody Rhodes.
When do you think this was pitched? Like, when in the storyline where they're like, we need to gold dust up
honestly,
Cody Rhodes.
It might have been right before, Payback.
Yeah.
Because they weren't supposed to have a match. We got there and like, oh yeah, it's Ryback and Curtis Axel, because I refuse to say their team name, mm-hmm. against Codust, you know? It was a very spur of the moment thing. And so, yeah, like, it just kind of happened. So I feel like it was somewhere around there.
Okay.
They kind of finally decided. And, you know, let's be honest, a get up like that takes some time to make, or an uh-huh. order and all that stuff. So I have a feeling they had an idea of where mm-hmm. they want to go with this. Whether it was just for, like, a one time joke or something like that, or the future of Cody's career.
Yeah.
Which it very well might be, and I'm all for it if it is. Because here's the thing. The one knock on Cody is that he is the normal, boring member of the Rhodes family.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of his shtick. Which is fine if he wants to be different from, you know, his brother and his father. The only difference is his brother and his father were successful.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Goldust was kind of like a perennial mid-carder, but he did that very well.
But he's been on WrestleMania.
He's been on WrestleMania plenty of times. And Cody has too a couple times, but not at the same extent.
Yeah, but like,
there's not like a Cody moment where we you know, remember forever, other than, you know, he did that one triple threat with Randy Orton that made Randy Orton look really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I suppose him and the mask thing with Rey Mysterio. People really like that match.
I don't remember that match.
It was the face mask one. Because he blamed Cody for breaking his nose with his
knee brace.
I don't know. Sure, I was talking about this in my 10 thoughts column. Like, sure, this is him kind of like piggybacking on Goldust's gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, Goldust probably isn't going to need that gimmick for much longer.
Yeah.
At least not with WWE. His contract is coming up. And besides, even if Goldust transitions back into a backstage producer role like he used to a couple years ago, he's still not going to need the gimmick. So, why not let Cody take it in a different direction?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of it is, you know, Cody has had so many chances to
do that. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And he's never even, it's never, to me at least, mm-hmm. it's never been that he's failed to get over. He just didn't, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not like you tried and you missed and booty it, but like, but with, there's been like, with Legacy and then with Legacy without Randy Orton and then with like, you know, kind of on his own and then Rhodes Scholars and then this and that and this and that. And so this really feels like just the latest, like, trying to get Cody over. And I feel like the guy is like, he's talented and like, WWE really feels like he's talented, at least in the ring. And they're just trying to get him over and cannot figure out the formula to get this guy over.
Yeah. And again, like, it was just a bad timing situation because the moment where we felt like it was his big moment to really, where he was starting to get over as, like, he was a top heel at one mm-hmm. point. And it was after he'd gotten rid of the mask and he still had the Intercontinental Championship and held it forever. And kind of finished things up with Big Show. Money in the Bank came up, and it was like, if Dolph Ziggler hadn't ridden like this big wave of momentum and ended up winning that Money in the Bank, that should have been Cody's. Like, that was Cody's moment to do it right there. And then he's never quite had that momentum ever since on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, like, things were big whenever Goldust came back, and, you know, it seemed like their matches had new life. But as a singles competitor, he never quite reached that moment again.
Yeah.
Maybe this, I honestly, like, if this doesn't work for him, I don't know what else to do. Like, I'm pretty sure WWE probably feels the same way. Like, they probably still want to have a good relationship with the Rhodes family,
mm-hmm.
especially with Dusty working so much with NXT and developmental and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure that has something to do with all the chances he's gotten.
Yeah, no, I think, I think he's gotten more than his fair share of chances.
And, like, honestly, like, if he brings out the personality that he has in the JBL and Cole show, mm-hmm. he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, because, honestly, that's the most entertaining I've ever seen Cody is on that YouTube show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him, I think it was, like, the wrestling court or whatever. That episode, and he ended up winning, and him going out, because it was during WrestleMania, him going out in the streets of New Orleans with, like, an umbrella and dancing around was completely hilarious, and then, you know, Bad New Bear would come in and try to, like, wrangle him back into the car, and he would just get out of another door and just start dancing with the crowd again. Mm-hmm. Like, that was funny. Like, I just, if he had something of that personality on actual, like, WWE programming.
Yes.
I think he'd be set.
Well, again, that's what's worked for Wade Barrett.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So there's precedent there.
Who knows? It might work for Heath Slater if he suddenly becomes Clem Layfield. He's entertaining as Clem Layfield.
That's the only thing that I can think that they would keep him for. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. is like we want to keep that in our back pocket right there.
Yeah.
If they're getting rid of the other two MBs.
Yeah.
And
apparently, like, guys who are on JBL and Cole show are apparently safe.
Yeah.
Which should be a good sign, because we're seeing more and more of Zack Ryder and Dolph Ziggler on that show. Usually it's Dolph, like, walking by, looking at Zack Ryder, and there's, like, some clue that Zack Ryder might be the bunny for Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like their running gag. So you never know. It might turn into a thing.
So that is worth mentioning that Zack Ryder was safe through this roster purge. You know, with all the, like, Zack Ryder is, he's not JBL status, but he is, like, joke never on the show.
Right.
Jobber kind of thing. So it to see him, like,
right.
be there still.
And see, like, and honestly, I know I talk up JBL and Cole show a lot. But to give them credit, like, on their podcast or something, I don't remember if it was Michael or JBL, but one of them did say, like, their main reason that they wanted to do this was because there were so many talented guys that you may not be able to see all that often, and this was just, they viewed this as another outlet to get more guys out there. Like, because this could be, like, because, you know, the big guys are probably, like, they'd have no time to do anything like this.
Right,
you know, but the undercard guys, they have all the time in the world.
Right.
I would assume, other than traveling and working out and whatever. So why not give them this other outlet?
Right.
And, you know, and if it's worked for Wade Barrett, it might be starting to work for Zack Ryder. I don't know.
Yeah. So, we'll see. It is a show worth noting, honestly. Like,
no, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Beyond just the, like, it's an entertaining YouTube show.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
although, like, the episodes now just be like, hey, what happened last week? All right, we're going to further the story a little bit, but mostly, it's going to be like, what will happen next week? You know, it's kind of turning into that.
Yeah.
Rather than having stuff actually happen on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, that and JBL and Michael have not been on that show in quite some time. That is irony.
Yep. All right. That's just about it for me.
Yeah, for me. Want to do what's making you happy?
Oh, geez, what is making me
happy? I can go ahead and start. Yeah, I kind of had something in. What's making me happy, non-wrestling related, Game of Thrones, the finale. I'm not going to spoil anything, but the finale was this past Sunday, and I really enjoyed this season. Mm-hmm. This might be my personal favorite season. It was a high body count, and, you know, some of the integral characters, some of them didn't make it through the season, but that's kind of what to expect. But I don't know, from beginning to end, I just really enjoyed this season.
Okay.
I'm ready for Daenerys to actually do something, like,
go to Westeros.
Everybody else is in Westeros. Go to Westeros. Right.
Go.
And we say everyone's going to Westeros, and then, you know, and Arya is probably going the other way.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah, there were certain things where that was like a surprise, but it shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we saw it coming, and they even told you, like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
It was a really good season.
Okay.
That was the best way to talk about it without giving anything away. That was the most vague discussion, but yeah. And then wrestling related, I'm really happy they're actually having a Money in the Bank ladder match. Like, I know it's absurd to even think that there wouldn't be one, but it felt like they were very close to it, to not having one. So, I mean, I'm just really glad that they're actually doing that, and basically doing the format that we've been talking about, like, have the championship be, like, the all-star type match that they've been doing the past couple years, and then have another one for the actual, you know, upper mid-card guys who are on the verge.
Mm-hmm.
Or just spot guys.
Yeah.
Like Kofi. So, yeah, there you go.
What's making me happy this week is Dean Ambrose. Because Dean Ambrose, we had always kind of viewed as, like, he started out as going back 2 years to the beginning of the Shield. Shield came in as a heel kind of thing. We viewed Dean Ambrose as the leader and the mouthpiece of the Shield.
Yeah.
We viewed him as that throughout just about the whole thing. He was always like this kind of like just shy of crazy, you know, thing. Very, and watching him over there, and especially even just watching Dean Ambrose previously, like watching his indie stuff, watching his previous before WWE stuff, it was just like, this guy's gonna make an amazing heel one day. I'm like chomping on the bit, ready for him to just like disrupt the order of the, you know, the WWE face super pals.
Right.
And, you know, just chomping in the bit for that. And then even when, like, it was teasing, you know, all the way up through these, like, recent teases of it, it's like, it's going to be Romans versus Dean Ambrose. That's going to be the breaking point right there.
Right.
And so the fact that Dean Ambrose has basically been thrust into this, the face character that is demanding the retribution of the Shield.
Yeah.
Like, doing the face justifying thing.
Yeah.
And pulling it off amazingly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is just not something I ever expected to kick him towards, and so to have him get a chance to do that, go into that, and do it as well as he's doing, just, he's been impressing me, like, this past week on Raw and this past week on Main Event. Like, he really impressed me both occasions. Like, he's a good face.
Right.
So, he's you know, really working that well. So Dean Ambrose is what's making me happy this week.
Okay. Do you have a non-wrestling one?
No.
Okay.
My life is wrestling.
Why isn't your life wrestling? What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Fair enough. All right. No mail sack.
All right. So as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. You know what's making me happy?
What?
I can't believe I forgot this. Trashy Ring Attire is on iTunes.
Yeah. Still got some tweaking. There are some episodes that apparently are missing.
There's tweaking. Tweaks have already been submitted. So,
okay. But it is on iTunes.
It's like on iTunes. You can go to iTunes. You can subscribe to Trashy Ring Attire. You should do that. That's really making us happy.
Yes.
Do that and do all the subscribing and the rating of the
5 stars?
Yeah, for them too.
Okay.
And then,
I didn't know that was my line for them too, dear God.
That's never my line.
I better get paid double, or you'll be hearing from my union.
A callback to earlier in the episode.
Hey!
All right, now our plugs.
Okay.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. Live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. Fun times ahead by all, at CR Attire.
Yes, that's how you spell that. Mm-hmm. I had to think. Because I was really expecting you to screw that up.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com. I'm not going to try to spell that at you.
We are also on iTunes, along with Trashy Ring Attire. You look us up there. You can subscribe, get every episode of the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 star, even though I've gone over my limit.
write a review. All that stuff does great things to help the podcast with iTunes. Algorithm thing that all really helps kind of get the podcast out there.
We don't understand it, but we know it helps us.
So do any of that stuff. That'd be great.
Yep. And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. Might even throw the comment into the mail sack.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.